What's up, everybody? It is Ziggy Guns, another episode of the Money Talks podcast. Yes, we are back, the year 2022. You are probably going to be listening to this sometime at the end of January. I'm not even sure what day it is, but I do have a special guest. We're going to be talking credit cards and credit scores, among other things, and of course, money in general. But go ahead and say hello to the people.
Hey guys, you probably recognize me as the mod of GI Homeless Girl or Noonie on Twitter.
There we go. So what would you like to be called? Noonie or homeless?
I mean, either or. It doesn't bother me at all. Like, whichever one people want to use, it's fine.
All right. Well, you heard it there. So we are going to be talking about, you want to start off with credit cards first?
Yeah, we can do that. We can start off with credit cards. But before we get into that, I want to make sure everyone knows that this is not financial advice. Everything we say in this podcast is for entertainment purposes only, and any actions taken with the use of this information is at your own risk and may be held liable in the court of law.
Perfect. I'm going to go ahead and record that. I'm going to play that on every single episode that I have going forward, so that would just be your voice doing it.
All right. Sounds good.
Credit cards. So a little background on me with credit cards. Whenever I first turned 18, you know, they always, it was like unavoidable. As soon as you turned 18, I don't know where or how they got your address, but it's like they knew right away, hey, credit card offer, you're qualified, $300, $500, $2,000, whatever it is. All you have to do is apply. I don't know if it's changed over the years. I know since, you know, I'm a little older in this space, but it was like by mail, and they would always say, you know, send you this, you know, fancy. It always had an amount. Like, it would tell you that you are pre-approved for this amount.
And right, like you're pre-approved for like so-and-so on the
exactly,
envelope.
Exactly, exactly. All easy to do, you know, just, you know, back then it was mail at first, but then whenever everything was online, they would say, you know, just go online and apply. And I mean, I got suckered into it right away when I was a kid. I saw that I got approved for a Capital One card, and it was for $1,000 I wanted getting approved. And I thought that was just, you know, awesome, right? Here I have a piece of crap job, you know, working at Wendy's.
and
I'm like, oh man, I can pay this off, no problem, let me just get some. So the first thing I bought, I remember the very first thing I ever bought on a credit card was a camcorder, and it was one of those high eight, you know, I think it was a Samsung or Sony, and I would film all my racing days on that thing. It was pretty cool. Of course, the high eight wound up being like junk after a few years, and it just disappeared, and it wasn't anything like how you could have everything on your phone and all that. Everything's digital, you could download everything right away. So now I have a whole bunch of tapes that are like these little small size of like a wallet. Don't even fit in anything. You can't put in a VCR, can't do nothing with it. And now,
oh,
I have,
really?
Yeah, now I have all these little tapes with all these races that I can't do nothing with. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's probably some kind of technology to do to convert it, but yeah, what a big waste of money. But we're gonna talk about how you can avoid stuff like that and other things. But
yeah, I was curious to ask you. So it's like, so how did your parents like feel about credit cards and everything like that growing up? Other than, you know, your experience with getting roped in from one of those mail offers.
You know, I didn't really have much guidance from my parents when it comes to stuff. I do remember, you know, around 14, 15, 16, how, like, my father would get a loan and be excited about a loan and things like that from a bank. Or if he did have his credit cards, he would, you know, I don't think he used as much. So I learned early on not to use credit cards as much. And, you know, whenever I was 16, you know, I pretty much had to grow up real quick. So I had to learn how to manage money. So I really didn't care too much about credit per se, but I just liked the fact that I had that just so I could do what I liked to do at that time, was filming me racing. So that was really the only credit card I started off with. But as far as parents go, they really didn't like say, hey, you know, don't do this, don't do that. It was more like, be careful, you know, you're an adult, just be careful. So. And I saw how, you know, what they were going through. So it's not like I had bad, you know, advice or they were a bad influence or anything like that. So I was always somebody that likes to save more than I did like to spend.
Right. I think, like, for me, I came from an immigrant household, so, like, the concept of, like, credit wasn't something that my parents really taught or anything like that, because they didn't really know themselves either, like, you know, how credit worked here in America and everything like that. So my parents pretty much paid everything with cash. Like, when I remember growing up, when my parents would go to the car lot to buy a vehicle, it was always in cash. So they didn't really mess with credit at all, to have it established. And so I did a lot of, you know, that was a lot of self-taught, you know, how to learn those things, how to build credit and manage, like, your money and all of that.
Yeah, same. I think it was also more so that they, like, really scared you back then when it came to
stuff.
Oh, yeah,
like definitely, right.
Like, I remember thinking that if I had a credit card and I missed a payment, that I was bankrupt, you know what I mean? Like, I was, like, you see all the commercials during the time, you know, oh, you have credit, you know, credit problems and all this. Like, man, they really didn't want you to. Like, I was freaking out about shit like that. Like, I mean, I would never miss a payment because I was always afraid that, like, one mark would make, you know, make it to where you can't buy anything in the future, because they really drilled that back then. In your head that, you know, you had to be responsible with it, or it's like a weapon used against you. So I was always had that scared feeling in the back of my mind that I better not mess this up. So the $1,000 for me was, like, enough.
Right. I feel like that's something that perhaps, like, still carries to this day, though. Because, like, I remember, like, my parents didn't really bring it up that much about credit cards, but much like yours, they're like, you know, be careful. Like, it was always just, like, an overall, like, negative feeling towards it. And anybody else that I remember growing up and, like, interacting with would kind of would share a similar sentiment as well.
Yeah.
Like, stay away. Don't let it ruin you financially like it did them. Like, everyone was always telling me stories about how, like, they have, like, several maxed out credit cards and everything and messed up their credit. And just don't follow down the same footsteps that they did, basically. Stay away, just stay away completely. But I feel like a lot of it is just kind of educating yourself and knowing what you're doing so that you don't end up putting yourself in that place where you're messing up your credit. Because here in America, like, credit affects so many different things that I feel like a lot of people don't realize. Like, you know, your jobs, like, some job actually will look into, you know, your credit and everything.
Yeah, certainly whenever I got into my, like, 20s and I started, like, really taking my financial stuff seriously, then you realize real quick how important it is. Yeah, like you said, job, even small things where you really didn't think that you would use your credit, like even buying stuff from, like, a jewelry store. And if you wanted to have a you know, applying for a credit card, like, I always thought, like, store cards was, like, kind of like a joke. I didn't realize that it really was, like, a real,
you know, thing. Yeah.
Yeah. like, oh, who wants a K, you know, jewelry card and all that kind of stuff. But those things, like, I learned real quick that I didn't apply for any of that stuff before, but if you did, it was, like, serious, right? So it's like, you learned also that you had to be very careful because everybody's fighting for your business when it comes to that too. And it's like, they tell you, or what I learned is, you have to don't maintain, like, so many cards because that could also be a negative impact. And so right away I just started, like, roping all the stuff around. So, all right, I need to make sure that I have X amount of cards only. And then I learned about debt to income ratio and all this stuff. And then when you get all that, then it becomes easy. You just kind of figure it out in your head, you know, what you could do or what you can spend and how to manage it. But I mean, the most important thing for sure is you just make sure that you pay at least the minimum every month, because that history becomes more important over time than you realize. Because whenever you're in your early 20s, you're just, you know, paying it off and you're not seeing the benefit of it. But as you get older and you start purchasing a lot bigger things, like a new car instead of a used car, and a house, or even applying for your dream apartment and stuff like that, whenever you start making those big decisions in the future, that history becomes very important. Even if the credit isn't that good, if you can show on some places that you have great history, you know, just making payments, that might be good enough too. So That's
right. They may make an exception for that too. Yeah.
Exactly.
I feel like, you know, I feel like the biggest thing is that invest in yourself now, as far as like building out your credit history and everything like that, because it takes such a long time to establish like good credit, and then you have to have different types of credit too as well that lenders are looking at.
Yeah, that's very important. The good point, because a lot of people have this idea that they're going to have 850 credit score if they just like pay something off right away, and they get upset with themselves that, hey, how come my credit isn't to this point? And that's what I said about the history. It's like a level up. It's like playing a video game and you're leveling up your characters and you get to this max level. You know how whenever you're up at that top, how you can destroy the enemies pretty easily. All of a sudden the game is a little bit easier. You know, you're at the end game, and that's like credit. This is almost like real life. You know, you start off at a lower level. You can't do much here, but then if you build it over time, then you get to this upper echelon. It's not going to happen overnight for sure.
Right. Yeah, definitely not, because it's like, you know, sometimes like, you know, you get to that point, right, and you want to start a family and you want to settle down, and now you're looking at houses and everything like that. And, you know, you go out and you make an offer and they run your credit and they're like, we don't see any like established credit history at all. We can't offer you this unless like you get a cosign or something like that. You're just gonna have to go through a lot more hoops. And if you were to start off right away, whenever like you're 18 or whatever state it is that you're in, because I know in Nebraska, I think you have to be 19 in order to even apply for a credit card. So just as soon as you can, start doing that, even though you might not be looking into buying a house right now, but or say a car or anything like that that you might be applying for. So when that time does come, you already have the credit that you don't even have to sweat it.
Exactly. Absolutely. And you know, using my case in point, you know, or my history in it, you know, I started off right away at 18 and I only had a $1,000 card. That's all I could get, you know, at the time. My credit score, I think whenever you first start, it's like what, like between 500 and 600 only. So, you know, because you have no credit, obviously. But you're not, but then again, you just started. So it's kind of like a, here's the base model, you know, here you go. Oh. Your starter kit, you know, credit score. And then they test you. And what happens is, like I said, I had Capital One at the time. If you are paying off your cards, you know, and back then also, we'll touch up on it too, about either paying it off all the way or just paying a little more than what's due or whatnot.
Right.
But for this, in this case, in my case, you know, like I said, I spent $600. It was a $1,000 limit, and I paid $200 the first payment was due, and it was only like $50 that I owed. I think it was like $45 and some change or whatnot, and I paid $200. And then after that, I would just pay another $50 every month and try to get it. At that time, I was just trying to get within the whole year to pay off the rest of the money. And I noticed that after a few months, I think it was only like 2 months, they upped the limit but without me asking for it. They upped my limit from 1,000 to 5,000. And I guess that was because they saw that the history was showing that I was paying more. And I think that I'm not sure if that's really why they raised it. But I do notice that every credit card I had afterwards, that if I paid a little bit more than minimum, I was getting frequent credit increases. And now, back then, it was like the Wild Wild West when it comes to credit cards, though. And the reason why I say that is because they were kind of like how people feel like it's about student loans now, about how like it's predatory, like how they just going after you for, you know, for your business and stuff like that. I think credit card companies were like that, too, where they were throwing applications and applications at you from different places, whether it's Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discovery, like all these things. It wasn't like you like knew that you weren't supposed to do that many. Luckily, I learned, you know, while I was doing this. And again, it goes back to that fear factor too. I was scared to have more than like two or three at a time. So I never wanted to be over that, no matter what. But a lot of people get in trouble by applying for so many of them, right? You get inquiries, hard inquiries, which is your credit inquiries. Yeah. And it's, if you do more than two, that becomes a negative a year or after 6 months or something like that. So So, like, that's stuff that a lot of people don't have knowledge of. So a lot of people get in trouble right away. Even if they did pay off, they get in trouble right away because they're showing that you're almost to what they see. They're probably looking at this guy must be broke, or this person must, you know, be struggling to where he needs to apply for all this credit, even though they're the ones that did it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like we're over here reading that says pre-approved. Now you're punishing me for this.
But it's like a complicated game, honestly, with a bunch of like little rules that can really mess you up. But then once you understand like what you're supposed to do, it's really not that difficult. But like, yeah, you were saying, like, if you apply for too many credit cards, like in a time span of like, say, less than 6 months, like every single time you apply for a credit card, that's a hard inquiry on your credit report, which any place, if they're gonna run your credit, can see, and that negatively impacts your credit score. Yep. You definitely don't want that. Like, you can have more than two or three credit cards if you know what you're doing, you know what I mean? You can certainly have more than one. It's just the timing of when you want to open another credit card will drastically can impact your credit score.
So did you ever have any credit problems to where you had to clean your credit or to get it better?
No, I did a lot of, to be honest with you, I did a lot of due diligence because like I shared earlier on, I grew up in an immigrant household. So like that was something that was definitely not taught by my parents at all. It was a lot of self-taught, you know, Google, like, you know, and everyone has a computer basically on their phone nowadays. So like, search up and look up information and everything like that. So yeah, I've been fortunate enough not to mess up my credit score.
Good.
It's in good standing.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I've been blessed now, you know, with I think the biggest bump that I had was whenever I paid off my first house off, and that skyrocketed to, you know, the pristine credit now, and then I was after maintaining. But I noticed that while I'm maintaining it, the most important thing now is the history. It was shown. Your history is the most important thing that you've gotten. So as far as everybody listening to this episode right now, I'm assuming that we have everybody over the age of 18 listening, because this is an adult podcast, right?
Right.
But I'm hoping that you guys are learning to be, you know, inquisitor or whatever about, you know, how to manage credit and stuff like that. Do not be afraid. If you need to ask. I would certainly like you guys to learn a few things with us when it comes to that, because we've learned a lot over the years. But if you have to clean credit, because I've actually helped people out that had bad stuff and we had.
Oh, yeah, I definitely have as well. Yeah.
So there, that's also like a whole different thing what you could do. The freecreditreport.com, that was one of the sites that was like where it gives you the free credit report and gives you all three of the major credit bureaus, right? So it was
right, which is TransUnion, Experian,
and what's the last one? I always forget the last one. It's TransUnion, Experian.
Man, yeah, what is the other one?
Let me look it up.
It is not coming to mind, but yes, there's three.
And the funny thing is, I think the third one that we're missing is the most popular one, I want to say.
But and also, I would recommend a Credit Karma account too. I know they should, like, you know, give you a sponsorship or something. But yes, open a Credit Karma. That is 100% free, and you can monitor your credit score.
Equifax.
Equifax. There we go.
How do we forget Equifax? But yes, what you want to do is get all three of them, you know, by any means. And it, like I said, today's technology makes it to where it should be very easy to get. It doesn't affect your credit, at least the first one you get, you know, because I think after that, after you get your credit reports from all three bureaus, I think they track after so many times, you know, like there's a time limit.
Really? How much you run it?
Yeah, but you get those, you know, reports from different, because that's the thing about credit too that's so weird, is that they're reporting numbers to different bureaus, and it's not all equal. So you might have a score of, you know, let's say 650 in Equifax, and then that you might have a 600 only in TransUnion, but then on Experian you might have a 720, and it's just like, what is going on? And that's the reason why it's important to have all three. so that you can figure out what is happening with some of the other ones. Either one of the companies isn't reporting to the one, and then you probably want to write on them and say, hey, what's going on? This is very important to have, you know, this being reported. It looks like you stopped, or maybe they didn't start it off in time or whatnot. If you have bad stuff, they'll actually tell you which one is bad. Like if you had a missed payment or hard inquiries that were out of the norm. What is it when they steal your identity? That's like, you know, obviously that's one of the biggest ones. Right. That'll be one of the biggest ones where people are opening different things on your report. You'll see that, right? Like you imagine if you all of a sudden have a Home Depot credit card that you've never been to in a different state, it will show that, right? So it's like, whoa, then you want to fight those things. And I one of the advices that I always give to the people that have had struggles, even if they were legit, is to find out what you could do about it. Because if they've been reporting it for so long and so long, and that's hurting your credit score, you can actually write them and be like, hey, look, I'm willing to try to settle this. And they will be very willing to get it off your credit report for either a set amount or make a payment plan for you. Or sometimes by just writing that letter, they might not even want to bother and they'll just take it out. I've seen that happen a lot of times. So I guess
right, like yeah, like even if you say like you had debt, whether you're aware of it or not, that went to collections or whatever, oftentimes you can try to negotiate with them to get that amount lower. I mean, it wouldn't hurt, you know, even if you get no, at least you tried, right?
Exactly.
So say like if you owed a grand, you can try talking them down to like, hey, like, you know, times are hard or whatever, like is there any way that, you know, I can make a payment right now immediately for $800. Would that work? I mean, yeah, just try to negotiate whatever it is if you do find yourself in that situation.
And I can tell you right now, just based on experience from even like companies I work for, because I work for collection agencies like that, 9 out of 10 times, they're actually hoping for that kind of call. For that kind of reply for sure, like where they just want like a lump sum and that'll be it. Mm-hmm. Because when it gets to that point, the company, the card company, the issuer pretty much already gave up on you, right? They've already written it off, essentially. They pretty much already followed the government that this, you know, was a bad bet, pretty much. And they just want anything in return, so they actually sell that debt to companies or collection agencies. And those collection agencies make money off of anything they could collect from it. So even if you owe $2,000, in their mind, you know, they got it for pennies on the dollar, this account, and they're basically saying, I will take anything, you know. So that's the reason why I try to negotiate as much as you can. If they're real hard about it, just let them know this is all you can do. And I'm almost very certain they'll be like, okay, you know what, we'll take this, and you know, like, they can meet you like real close, and then that'll be it, and they'll be happy about it because to them, they got the money they wanted. So yeah, it does not hurt to try for sure. But we talked about how the credit reporting and stuff like that affects everybody. The credit score, obviously, is a big factor. We talked about all the things that happens in the future. What is it that you've learned over the years in your experience that has bumped it or messed it up without people maybe knowing about the regular details, like, you know, payment history and stuff like that?
I'm trying to actually think about that, like, cause yeah, I mean, I can't say I've really messed up my credit, although I have helped people like repair their credit. I had a friend, without getting into the family situation or anything like that, made a Credit Karma account and then saw that they had owed, I think, like some phone company over a grand, because they had co-signed for a family member.
That co-signing it gets you in a lot of trouble too. Yep.
Right, and so I think we can definitely talk about that too, Siggy. I oftentimes see that, like, even with my coworkers, like some of the experience that people go to, it's like, you know, definitely be very mindful about who you're co-signing for, if you do have good credit. Or whatever, because that really can mess up yours if those payments and stuff made by your family member or significant other or whoever it is don't make payments on time, it can adversely impact your credit score.
It definitely can. And another one is if you have the same name. So like I'm a junior, so I had the same name as my father. And, you know, like I said, that all these different credit bureaus have different numbers and stuff like that. Sometimes something that my father would be doing would be affecting my credit score because we have the same name. They only see the first, you know, first and last name. They don't realize that I'm a junior and that he's a senior. And now my kid even is probably going to feel that too whenever he's the third and I'm a junior. Luckily for him, you know, he should have great credit if they do report his stuff. But make sure if you are somebody that has a name this similar or the same, except, you know, with the different ending, you know, you always want to make sure that they're reporting the correct information to the bureau with your social security, not on somebody else's, or even address. Like, that's another thing too that could do it, is the address. They, if you're living with people in the same home or whatnot, or apartment even, they could report somebody's information based on address. And I don't know why they do that, but yes, somebody in your address could be put on your credit report without, you know, really, you don't really think about it. And what they do can mess up because the address is being affected. So I have seen stuff like that. So yeah, just be very careful when it comes to things like that.
Gotcha. There's something that I just thought of about too. It's like, signed up for have your kids as authorized users on your credit cards at all?
No, I know my mom actually did that for me when I turned 16. I think she put me on one of the cards as an authorized user too, and I think she said so that we could build some credit. Now, I'm not necessarily sure that I don't know how all that works. So I'm not, I've never advised that, and I've never done it, applied it.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that that's definitely like a little loophole that people could use to try to get their kids to have like a good credit score in the future, because you might show a good payment history.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But that's only if you have like good, like you yourself, like the card holder or the whoever holds that card. Has good practices, I would like advise it. But other than that, if you don't have good, like, you know, habits at all of handling your credit, definitely don't do it, because you're gonna mess up the kid. yeah, you're gonna mess up the other person's credit history. Give them a bad start instead of a good start.
But you could. That is like a tip. Again, you know, the disclaimer. This is all, you know, do your own research and stuff like that.
Yep.
But sure. that is maybe another way also to help somebody that you buy, like a family member that might not have good credit, that, you know, you could tell them, hey, look, you're not going to have anything, but I'm willing to do this, maybe put you as a, you know, on the report, my, you know, my credit stuff, and what I do might make it to where you get bumped up a little bit. And that's something that I'm assuming a lot of people probably can do.
It's definitely can. I don't think there's like a age limit on it at all when you can start that. It's just as long as, you know, it's with somebody that you obviously trust, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And everything like that. And you don't have to, I mean, you can give them the credit card that you have them as an authorized user on, or you just keep it yourself and use the card, so it's not them that will ever have the card to mess up both of your guys' credit score. Because that was something that I actually did for my brother a few years ago, actually. And his credit score as of recording this podcast is 761.
Nice.
Yeah. So it does work. I never once gave him the card. I was like, hey, here's the deal. You know, if you want, I will do this for you, help you, you know, get on the right path of building like a good credit history and everything like that, since it takes so long. Are you interested? And he was like, yeah, sure. And I remember on his 19th birthday, one of the first things he had on his list of things to do was to apply for a credit card.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. See, this is what you can learn from us. another important thing, whenever you were talking about that as well, is one, make sure that you don't, like, a lot of people make this mistake. I saw it many times where if they were in credit problems and they paid off the credit card, they'll cut it. They'll like discontinue the credit card.
Yeah, that's a no-no.
and I'm like, what are you doing? No, don't do that, because now you need to build it. Don't ever, like, I for some reason, it was more prevalent back then. Yeah, people were like cutting credit cards. I think they even had commercials where they'll show them cut the cards and all that.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely seen a few of those growing up. Yeah, for sure.
Don't do that. That is not helping you at all, because what happens is there's something, like, I know people that have done that where they paid off their debt and their credit, you know, they cut the cards or thing, and then guess what? They can't get another credit card. So all of a sudden, they're pretty much canceled themselves out. Like, you start applying and they'll see that you had a bad history and they'll be like, no, I'm sorry. And now you all of a sudden can't get anything. So whatever you did get, and even if you had a rough one with it and you're repairing it slowly but surely, don't get rid of it. Do not. Yeah. And no matter how bad the card might be, also, like, you know, whether it's the APR or anything like that, because if you're not going to use it anymore and you made that decision that you're never going to use it again, so that's the reason why you don't want to miss it. Just realize, though, that having that card and that history of the card is still going to be very important going forward. And it's going to get you to where you can have credit, you know, in the future. And on top of that, companies looking at it and be like, okay, regardless if you paid it off and that you're not paying anything on it, it will show that you had 10 years of not doing anything. And so that means you also has 10 years of not being in trouble. And that could go a long way for things in the future.
Right. Yeah. You definitely don't want to cut it short. You know what I mean? When it comes to credit cards. So definitely be selective of when you're applying for a credit card. Keep it for as long as you can. You know what I mean? You definitely don't want to apply for a credit card and just keep it for a couple of months. Only then to, like, because you wanted to buy a PS5 or something like that, and then, you know, you paid it off and everything, you're like, well, you know, I don't need it anymore. Definitely don't do that. Like, you want to keep that credit line open. And I would always recommend, like, you know, throw a Netflix subscription or something like that after you've made a big purchase. So say, like, even if you don't use that card right now for anything major, maybe a little bit further down the line, you know, if you're trying to build a PC or whatever, you know, that card will probably have a bigger credit limit at that time for you to utilize it.
Yeah, that's certainly that we could transition to, too, is how to build the credit now. You know, we talked about, you know, your score and, you know, how to maintain your debt and stuff like that, or what to do. But building your credit score, because you got, like I said, the history is going to become very important. Mm-hmm. Any little thing, if you know that your card is, you know, where you're comfortable enough to not have anything, like, you know, zero balance, that's not necessarily a good thing. You still want to build history. So, like you said, the Netflix account, I always said, for me, was all my transactions for the games that I play, right?
Oh,
like,
right,
Fortnite,
true, yeah,
and stuff like that. All those things that I do, Raid Shadow Legends now, right?
Yeah, all the skins and the gems.
All the DLC for all these games and stuff like that. I use my credit card for that because I'm building credit with it. I don't need to purchase these things, you know. And I don't have to, but it's convenient enough to where I know I'm paying off everything right away and it's very low. So it's making it to where the credit, you know, companies are seeing that I'm using it. Because I did notice that there was one card that I had that was not used often.
Yeah.
And during the pandemic, they actually cut it. Like, not cut cut it out, but they actually decreased the balance on it because of that. They sent me a letter saying, hey, we've noticed that, you know, you don't meet, like, this peak that you usually used to in the past. So we're just consolidating it or whatever to make it to where it's, you know, during those times. So I don't know if it was, like, a thing that because they thought that, you know, I guess people, if they weren't using their credit cards, they were in trouble from the pandemic or what. But now I found that very strange. Now, I got it back to that. I called them regularly. Hey, look, I just didn't do this because I don't use this card. And they changed, they reversed that. But that just made me realize that maybe I just need to use all my cards for something. Because
You
never know.
Yeah, because they can look at your spending habits or patterns and at their discretion, if they feel like you're not using the, like, it's not as active, then they can decrease your credit limit at any given time. So yeah, that's why I say, like, never let it go to dormant. I have a Home Depot card because I bought a lot of stuff for, like, my mom, for her place and everything like that. And sometimes I just go to Home Depot and, like, buy, like, a candy bar or something like that and just put it on the card and then pay it off, like, you know, the next time I get my billing statement or whatever, just to keep it active. Like, I'm not making any, like, you know, major purchases right now, but I don't want it to be closed either or for the credit limit to be lessened. So, yeah, just make sure you keep it active.
And another thing, a safety net, do not be afraid to put it to where it's auto payments. To me, auto payments probably is like a lifesaver whenever you set it up online. And it's not because, you know, like I'm going to be scared that I'd miss a payment or anything like that. But it's always just in case, because there are times where I would make sure that all my payments, like whenever I like take a day to do it, right? I have bills that are due on the 1st. I have bills that are due on the 15th, essentially. So pretty much every month my routine is around the 22nd or 23rd, the ones that are due for the 1st, I'll sit down and make sure that all my payments are done. And then anything that was due on the 15th, I'll take care of it on the 10th or 11th or whatever it is, right? But there's sometimes habits where there's system maintenance or there's some downtime, or back then whenever I had to mail stuff in to make payments. And if it did go past the day, then they will let you know, they'll let you know that X, you know, it's not going to be reported right away, but they'll say, hey, your account has been flagged that it's, you know, in like delinquent, essentially. So having an auto pay, making it pay the minimum balance at least, gives you a cushion that really is helpful, because even if you don't, you know, do it on purpose, at least it's showing that you did something. And whenever you call to get it taken care of or whatnot, then they have that there, and they'll, you know, it's a big help. Trust me.
Yeah, you definitely never, ever, ever want to find yourself in a situation where you miss the payment at all, because that will drop your score. It drop your score big time, because it seems like it's really hard to, like, build up your score, but man, you can easily mess it up and it just completely tank.
Exactly. And like I said, there are times, like, I had an account, and I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or whatnot, but I had an account that showed that I wasn't paying it as much, and I looked and it was one of being the auto pay took care of it twice, and I'm like, wow, that was kind of strange. And it was just that on my allocations to where all my bills go, it just, the credit card was out, so it was using my backup checking account. So, and the credit card was up because of it was expired. That's what it was. So it's like, man, I'm glad that was at least getting paid something, because that would have been, you know, I would have been in trouble, because that would have been two payments. That would have been, you know, 60 days. That would have actually been hitting on the credit report if I didn't have that. So that's the reason why I say auto pay is very important. And that's another thing too. Make sure that it's an auto pay account that's like your bank account, like a check account, because you wanted to make sure that if you do use auto pay, or if you do pay with like credit cards and stuff like that, and it's like the, you know, auto billing from it and whatnot, credit card expirations, man, they do a pretty good job of letting you know in advance, hey, your credit card's about to expire. But there are times where they don't. Like, that could be up to you sometimes. And
yeah, not every place like keeps track of that for you, you know. Exactly. What I mean? Yeah.
So yeah, that's the reason why it was very important that I had all my stuff on the bank stuff, so that way they just take it out directly, you know what I mean? So I don't have to worry about a card number or anything like that. But nah, that saved me before. So it was definitely, auto pay is a big safety net, in case, you just never know.
So would you, okay, so if anybody that's watching, I mean, that's listening, not watching, that's listening to this podcast,
one day we'll,
like,
watch.
Well, yeah, it's like, do I need a credit card? Well, I guess, like, my question back to you is, like, well, do you buy groceries? Like, do you pay bills? Get gas? Like, most of us do, right? And I just recommend, like, look into it, you know. If you don't feel comfortable, and don't run out there and get a credit card. But I say you should, because you're using cash and your debit card, and you're paying for most things that you would already pay off. Why not put it on a credit card? And knowing that you have the money to back it up, because, you know, you went to the gas station and get gas for your car, or you went to go get groceries or whatever, you know, and actually earn cash back or towards travel or whatever you want to spend it on. Like, because there are plenty of perks that you can get for having a credit card, or even lounge when you're traveling, flying and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a great point. Certainly when you make a decision to get a credit card, try to get the ones that have all the best perks. And now a lot of the good ones are going to be probably what you have to have established credit. So at that point, and this is something that's important too, because it's, I had to go through it. Some of my credit cards I've had for so long that if I upgraded them, right, I could get something a lot better, right? You know what I mean? Like now I could get the travel ones with these points, or the 1, 2, 3, where if you pay for gas, groceries, and this, then they give you X amount of cash.
Points, right? Yeah, like however their system is.
Yep, and they give you the stuff to get Amazon gift cards and all that, which is all fine and great. But the thing is, though, if you do upgrade, just remember that history that you had on that one card is gone now from your credit report. So I would strongly suggest that if you do try to, like, if you start off with a card that you just don't like as far as, you know, what it's doing for you, call the company and tell them that you're at the point to where you think that this card needs to be better. And they do have a retention department that might be able to help you when it comes to that. So that way they can don't want to lose you as a customer. If it's the same company too, if they have an offer, they could actually like retrofit it into that card, because you don't want to find yourself getting this new card and cutting off that history. Because like I said, that history can play a big role on your credit score in the future. And So I have all my original cards still like that. And all I did was, if I had one that had the travel stuff like that, the offer from the same company, I'll call them up and say, hey, look, I want this, but I want you to make this card that, to make sure it's that account, because you don't want to jump ship to this card and lose that. So, yeah, that's an important information that you guys need to.
Yeah, that's definitely important right there. I think for me, I didn't have to deal with what you just talked about, Siggy. I had my first credit card I ever got was from Capital One as well. And it was I think like the platinum, which was like the bottomest tier that you can get, because I was trying to build up my credit history and everything like that. And then over time, they slowly just bumped it up, just because, you know,
they did do that too.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, because like, I established good payment history and everything like that, they would bump my card up to the next upgrade, as well as increase like my credit limit and everything. So like now, like I'm like, I don't know when's the next time. I generally don't ask for it. I just let them do it. It's whatever, because I have like 8 credit cards.
Man, look at you.
Yeah. There's a Reddit that's called churning, but don't worry about that. That's what I do. I don't, all my bills are paid off on time. None of my credit cards are maxed out. I'm not even close.
I only have 4 credit cards now. Uh-huh. And like I said, and mainly because I got the original ones to become the ones that were the ones that are like, you know, the adult ones now. Yes. But, and also though, the reason why I wanted 4 specifically, I wanted to have one of each major credit card issuer. So I have a MasterCard, I have a Visa, I have an American Express, and I have a Discovery. And the reason why I did that is because I used to travel a lot, you know, back then before pandemic and stuff like that. I used to do cruises and stuff like that. You would find yourself where there's places that don't accept a certain card. So I didn't want to ever be in a position to where I'm overseas or I'm in a different country and my money was not going to be good because of my credit card issuer. So I made a decision to get every single kind of card. And if the card went up switching, because that can happen too, like I could have a Visa for 10 years and all of a sudden they switch to MasterCard, then I'll go ahead and tell that company, hey, look, I need a Visa version of this. Where do I go? If they don't have an offer for that, then I'll have to just apply for another one. Luckily, it hasn't happened, but, you know, but still. But yeah, that's the reason why I did it, So that could be a tip for you guys in case you are traveling out of the country and stuff like that, because there are merchants out there that don't accept. You remember those commercials? They don't take American Express. You know what I mean? They
yeah, right, right. Yep. Yeah. There was, some places. Yeah.
There is countries that are like that where they don't take Visa or they don't take MasterCard. They want, or it's one or the other. Like they have an exclusive deal and stuff like that. So, and that's actually the other thing too. Like my wife just got for Christmas, she bought the Keith Urban tickets or something like that. And that was exclusive only for American Express. So she had to borrow my American Express card to purchase that.
Oh, really? Just to get that, like, the exclusive? Yeah. Yes. That makes sense. Now I'm starting to feel like it's basically these different consoles with the exclusive it content, is. Basically. Yes. For credit cards. Mm-hmm.
So I did that. I did that, you know, because... One is because of the travel, though, because I did find myself mm-hmm. in a spot where... They didn't take MasterCard and they only had Visa. And luckily for me, I had Visa. I was just because I used to use the MasterCard more back then. And I was like, oh, man, now I'm glad I had this Visa. So I'm like, nah, forget this. I'm getting all them. I got to make sure I have all the major ones.
Yeah, I guess another tip, too, because you're talking about that, is like definitely notify your credit card whoever it is when you are traveling, especially if you're traveling out of the country. Because some of the, I guess, like the fraud protection that they have on your card is so good, because you'll travel from another state, swipe your credit card, and it's not going to work because they think that there's suspicious activity going on your card. Like, why is this card like now in, you know, freaking Alaska or something like that?
That's
and it's
true.
Like, well, yeah.
Yep. No, that is, that is a very good tip, because yes, that has happened to me before also because of travel where they would mm-hmm. do that, where all of a sudden, like, hey, your fraud has cut the, you know, it's stopped the card, you know, you need to verify. And of course, it's a lot easier now because they send you texts and stuff like that, but back then I had to go buy the phone cards, like the little the scratch off ones where you had to, it's like where you had to get on the payphone and dial all these numbers to try to get, you know, through back to the States. Like, oh, come on, man, 111 international codes. And it's like,
oh yeah, the fucking international phone cards. Yes, yeah, man. Yeah, that was a pain. Like, now it's so much easier just to communicate.
Yeah, you take things for granted, because yeah, back then it was a lot harder to do things. But yeah, that was that is a very good tip, because yeah, that can happen. It will happen. They are monitoring your stuff, especially today with all of people taking identities and card swiping. Like it's funny how we're doing this episode, but like a lot of my things that I do, it revolves around my credit so much. Like my wallet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my wallet is an RFID wallet, so it to where people don't scan and stuff like that. And all this is because, I guess it's just because you learn over time. But like my mm-hmm. wife had her card stolen, so we had to deal with all that. So it was like at that point, and it wasn't stolen. Like they took it. They did the scan thing where they ran the card and they copied everything to another card and they pretty much used it. So it was like, at first they said, hey, you have unusual activity in Florida, and we traveled to Florida. So like, well, we were in Florida, so we think it's good. But then we find out it's not good. It's like, oh no. So we had to deal with this whole thing. It's like, yeah, this is not us.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend to those listening that if you don't have RFID yep. wallet or purse, definitely get one. If you have any sort of debit card or credit card that has like the chip in it, which a lot of, I think that's like
the standard now, right?
Yeah, the standard nowadays, like definitely get one, because you definitely don't want that happening to you. Or when you go to the gas station too, like if you normally typically use your card, check to make sure before you swipe your card, because I've definitely seen things where like scammers or whatever like that, they'll put like a fake one onto the machine and that can capture your information and everything like that. So
exactly.
Yeah. We're becoming more digital nowadays with the technology.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that, because I was always scared to, like, it's funny how technology has changed just based on, like, mm-hmm. like you said, some of the chip and all that. Probably the one change that scared me the most during this whole thing was actually putting your credit card on your phone, whether it's Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, and stuff like that. At first, that freaked me out, because I was like, man, if somebody steals my phone, they have like all my shit. It's like, it took a while for me to like build up the courage to actually do that. Now, it is safe, though. A lot of my fears wind up being kind of, dissipated over time and stuff like that. But, man, yeah, I remember that transition. It's like, man, do I really want to put all my information on my phone? And if I lose this phone, man, that's it. You know what I mean? But it wound up being, especially during the pandemic, like, it's amazing how, like, I don't know if it's, like, a sign or what. Like, I decided in 2018, I think, you know what, let me just go ahead and start doing this. Because I saw all the commercials for Apple, and I have Samsung. So I was like, Samsung has always been pushing it to their users without the commercials, like Apple was. So I had Samsung Pay, and I was like, all right, let me try it out. Let me do it. And when the pandemic happened, it was like a godsend having that, because now I didn't have to touch the screens that I was worried about people touching. I didn't have,
right, that's true. Yeah, that's very true.
I didn't have, like, the even places that, like, normal, like the zoo during the pandemic. So the zoo over here, they got rid of all the concession stand kind of type of thing. You know, like, they usually have a person that would give you, like, ice cream and all that, whatever. They got rid of those, so you only can use the vending machines. And the funny thing about the vending machines, they didn't take cash anymore. All they did was taking the credit card payment type things, like the Apple Pay and all that. So I had that, and everybody was like, oh, man, I'll give you money right now, man, if you buy me something, because they couldn't do anything. So I'm like,
oh, man, because they didn't have it set up. Yeah. Or some of the debit or credit cards that have the tap feature.
Yes.
Like, I feel like it's not a common thing. Like, when I go to a place to check out or whatever, and they have that, it's like, I prefer this so much more than having to put my card in and hit buttons, like hit enter and all that stuff. So, yeah, that too.
So one thing that I was afraid of the most now is like the most convenient thing ever. So, yeah, I guess the moral of that story is don't be afraid to try, new things with technology wise. Because, like I said, I've started off back whenever you had to apply with the by mail all the way to the internet stage, and now to like all the chip technology, and now everything's on your phone essentially. So I had to go through it all, and it's like, yeah, and you realize real quick that's like, man, it's a lot easier these days. So a lot of kids that have credit questions and stuff like that now, trust me, you have it a lot easier. You have apps.
Yeah, so much easier. I mean, and the internet is honestly just a wealth of information out there just for you to uncover, basically, about anything that you could possibly want to know what's out there.
Exactly. And if you are discouraged about your credit score, because if you are listening to this and you want to know like how to build your score, like I said, it's going to take a long time to get to where you want to really be, like if you want perfect credit. So don't beat yourself up if you're always stuck at like 700 only or 750. That could be where you are for a long time. Just make sure that, like we said, you make sure you maintain your credit history and make sure you're showing purchases and paying off still. That's very, very important to building your score in the end. Very important.
Right. Yeah. And again, it never hurts to start now, regardless of what your age is, because even if you don't need it now, you might need it again in your future. So I always say, like, it's like investing in yourself,
Yes.
Whether you're going to start a family later on, purchase a new car or rent an apartment or purchase a house, like you're gonna need good credit and a good history of credit as well as Sigi Express.
Yeah, it like Holmes asked about, do I need a credit card? That answer to that question is 100% yes, because if you're, even when you don't have a credit card and you say to yourself, I'm not gonna have credit, I don't care about this, the world doesn't operate on that decision for you. They're deciding stuff based on their own standards. So if you are hell bent on saying I don't need no credit card, and then all of a sudden you want to buy a car, and they be like, well, we got to run a credit score. Guess what? They don't care what your decision was. They're gonna see that you have nothing, and they'll be like, you're not gonna get this. I'm sorry. Unless you have the cash right now, it's like you
right,
put.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, things are a lot harder. Just because of a decision that you thought was like, I guess you thought was good or whatnot. So just be mindful that just because you feel like you don't need it doesn't mean that the companies out there are mindful of what your decision was. They don't care about what your decision was. They're basing it on, we're not just going to give you this. No, this is what we look at to determine if you're going to get this or this or that.
Right, just because you don't think that it's important or it matters doesn't mean that the companies are going to feel the same way at all.
Exactly.
I mean, like, you know, I talk about my parents being immigrants. Like, my mom, like, I remember, like, growing up, and as I was educating myself about this, and then, you know, her going out and getting an apartment, or some of the, you know, day-to-day stuff that you might find yourself in situations in, and then having to explain to my mom from Vietnam, like, you know, how things work here in America, and like, you know, that's out of my control. Just because you don't like it, there's only, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta have like some sort of a credit and everything like that in order to even get an apartment just to rent.
Yep. Yeah, now you realize real quick, it's like, man, maybe I should have opened up a credit card. And even when you do, though, like I said, one of the biggest things you learn is once you do open, it's not just, hey, I got it and I'm gonna have credit now. Now it's like a job. You gotta work at it, you gotta baby it, you gotta make sure that it's taken care of. It's
Yeah, you gotta monitor
like,
it. You gotta
exactly.
make sure you feed it with money.
Yep. It becomes a pet.
Yeah,
A
basically.
lifelong pet. Yes, it does.
Yeah, and you don't want to get rid of any of the credit cards you open. So just make sure that you know, it's gonna be a credit card that you are more than likely are not gonna close other than upgrading.
And don't be afraid to call the companies. Like I said, we talked about how calling them for, you know, when you're in trouble or if you lost your job, even preventative stuff, they're willing to work with you. I mean, trust me, these companies, you know, they're making a lot of money regardless. So they're more than willing to help you out. They don't want you to default and stuff like that. That's like the worst thing that they want also. It's not like they're purposely trying to get your credit score to be bad. So make sure you talk to them. They like it when you talk to them, like call them for any questions. I know maybe the Brett might like it, not like it, but the company itself does. And don't be afraid to ask questions, and do not be afraid to change things if you feel they need to be changed. Because that's one thing too, like especially early on in your life, if you're young, like let's say 18 to 20, and you apply for a credit card, your APRs are going to be absolutely atrocious. And as you get older and as you get a job that's, you know, well paid, and here you have family, and all of a sudden your income matches way above what your credit card is when it comes to like APR and perks and stuff like that. Don't be afraid to let them know, hey, look, you know, this is how much, you know, this household makes. This card is only showing this. I really feel, you know, that your limits have not been anywhere near what I think it should be. And don't be afraid to get it up. And another question, you know, another part that we didn't talk about also is your credit limit. You know, a lot of people see people with like 5,000, 10,000, hundreds of thousand even. And, you know, some people have talked to me in the stream, like, well, what should it be, whatnot. Honestly, the higher the better, because like I said, your credit score is based on your credit debt to limit ratio. So obviously, if you have a credit card that's $10,000 and you only have $1,000 worth, that's fantastic in the eyes of a credit bureau. So not to say that you could get that easily, because that's, again, that's also
Oh
part.
yeah, no, definitely not that easy if you're starting what from either bad or no credit, you know.
That's something you build over time, but you definitely don't want to be afraid to accept one, because, you know, whenever they say, hey, you know, do you want your credit limit raised? Accept those, I would say, if you feel like, you know, you deserve it and you can maintain it and you're disciplined, because you don't want to spend so much. Like if you have a 5,000 limit and you have your credit at 4,400, then that will negatively impact your score. So make sure that you know, like I said, your debt to limit is at least 60% to be safe. I obviously keep it a lot. Like my credit cards are pretty much virtually gone right at this point. It's only spent on dumb things at this point to pay off. But
Yes.
growing up, you know, whenever the rough times, right, the 20s, the early 30s, you know, you always try to at least make sure that to me, those limits when they break with would come was like a like Christmas. Like, oh hell yeah, man, thank God they gave me this. Because it made it to where I knew the score was gonna go up, because if I had like 2,500 credit card and my credit card was like a tenth, I was like, man, I need this thing to just be a little more, and then they'll be like, okay, good.
All right, yeah. Another thing too, I didn't want to forget this is bringing up apartments earlier. Some places now definitely look into it, since, like, you know, the podcast is probably like, you know, a younger audience or whatever, is definitely look into seeing if they offer to report your rent payments to build up your credit score as well.
Yeah.
It's something that most places, like, you would have to sign up for or opt in. Like, it's not just automatically. I remember doing that for my mom as well, and just building up her credit score, even though she might not necessarily need it at her age now, but it just helps that should anything ever come up, you know, it's there.
Yep. No, good point. Good tip. So, anything else? No, we talked about credit and credit score for 1 hour exactly. That's incredible.
Oh, wow. Time flew by. Credit, different types of credit, see?
Different types of credit?
Yeah, different types of credit. I think that's probably...
Let's talk about it then.
Yeah. Let's see, what, there's like three types, right? There's revolving credit, which is like your credit cards or home equity lines, and then personal lines of credit. And then there's your installment credit, which is like student loans that everyone hates.
Yep.
Your car loans, and then I think mortgage, and then open credit, which is like your utility bills and stuff.
Yes. And though usually the utility ones are very more lenient, you have to really be way behind, and I'm talking about like 90 plus days for them to really like knock at your door about saying or threatening about the credit reporting. But yeah, there's different credits. Some are going to impact your score a lot higher. Obviously the mortgage one, I think, is like one of the most major ones for determining a high or low score, because if you do short on a mortgage, the banks are not afraid to use the credit against you right away.
So
like that, because they want that money pretty much right away. So yeah, that
they're not waiting for you. They're like, give it now.
So it's like they have it to where like there's a 30 day where it's like a warning, then the 60 day is like, hey, it's reported now, and then 90s they're talking about, you know, collection agencies and everything already. So the other ones, like I said, the utility ones, more lenient. That those are the ones that, like, if you're in trouble with that, you can call them and they'll probably do extensions and stuff like that. And revolving credit is obviously the most important for building. And those are the ones that are always constantly being reported. So those are your credit cards, right? That's the
right
ones.
So, yeah, those are your credit cards. Yeah. Like home equity lines and
yeah,
all those. That it's I feel like when it comes to credit score and all that, it's kind of like having a stock portfolio. You kind of want to diversify yourself over the course of your lifespan or whatever, just to definitely have different ones, because that's what creditors are looking at. They're not only, they're looking at multiple factors: your credit history, how well you've paid it, like if you've ever owed anything, if there's any I think what they consider derogatory marks on your credit.
Yep.
As well as the different types of credit that you may have on in your history.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the reason why we say that the credit card one is very important if you want to start, or if you haven't started yet and you don't want credit, but you know, like I said, how the world revolves, they don't care about that decision. The credit card one is very important because that one is the one that's impacting it like every single month, right? So if you have a history that's always being reported every single month and it's perfect history, that goes a long way, because buying a car while you're making those payments, they're not necessarily looking at your payment history in that same light. They're just looking to where you don't mess up at that point. So they know that your notes for 5 years, and they're not looking at, oh, he paid every month. They just hope that at the end of the 5 years, you never missed a payment, pretty much. And it's like that with kind of like a mortgage, just like that too. They know that you owe 30 years worth. They don't want you to mess up at all during those 30 years or 15 year mortgage or whichever one you pull out. But the credit, yes, the credit card one, they know that's the reason why it's very important, because they know that that is one that they can see every month, and they, that determines what kind of consumer you are. Are you somebody that's responsible? Are you somebody that, you know, takes it seriously by paying it on time, how much you pay? Because, you know, that's also another thing too. Are you paying just the minimum? Are you putting a little bit over? Are you paying it off? A lot of people will give you different answers of which one is good or whatnot.
Right. Yeah, definitely. The credit utilization across all of your cards, or just specifically on just one card, how much you want to. Yeah.
Yep. And the answer that you would get from me is, as long as you make the minimum payment, it's going to be good enough. Just if a little more is always better. It's kind of like in real life when it comes to applying things, right? Paying it off all the way is only good in the end game, in my opinion. So like I said, how I do the microtransactions, video games, stuff like that, I'll just pay it off at the end, because now my credit is already established. So I'm not building anymore. I don't need to.
Right. So you, in your case, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would say my recommendation across like all of your cards or one specific is to keep it to utilize about 9 to 30% of whatever your credit limit is. And you don't want anything more. If you want to, you can, just pay it off like a portion of it before the billing statement comes out, because that's when they're going to report it to the credit bureaus. So say like you got your credit card is $1,000, right? And you use 50% of it, which would be 500. Well, before your billing statement comes out, pay like 400 of that off. So by the time that it comes in and it's being reported to the credit bureaus, it's only going to show up as just 10% of credit, $100.
That is a good tip too. Yep.
I mean, it's a little bit, I know it sounds a little bit confusing, but if you like look it up, like you can max out your card. Don't do it, but like you can without, you know, as long as you pay everything off and on time or the minimum balance, then you should be fine.
Yeah, I have seen people like really play that kind of game, just like you're saying, and it's very impressive how they were able to build. Because like somebody like groceries is a perfect example. They know they're gonna spend X amount of dollars pretty much every month, spending it on groceries. So what they'll do is they would, instead of using just a debit card or cash to pay, they will put it on the credit card, you know, on that day. And then use that money right before right before the thing hits. And it's like a super booster, basically, because you have like this double whammy where you're paying, you know, for your goods and then using the money that you were going to pay off the card. And then the reporting that it's like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're getting the perks of it too, whether it's the points or cash back for your purchases. And so that's exactly what I do, actually, Siggy. Yep. I literally don't pay anything with cash. I use cards for everything, for different things. I have one credit card for just my subscriptions like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon. I have another one for just gas. I have another one for just like microtransactions, like you said. I have one for daily spending, like, you know, gas, food, whatever. So I have one for different things, basically, and that's all. Because I know at the end of the day, it's like, you know, if I'm going to be paying cash for this anyways, why not get some extra perks or bonuses for actually like using my card, that it's going to be backed up by cash. So just look at it that way. Like, if you're going to like always, like, you know, if you got a grocery store that, you know, you're always going to buy groceries from, why not use a credit card and then just pay that card off with what you spent on groceries or gas?
Exactly. No, that's a very good tip. It is something that we need to let the people know that it's a advanced tactic that can be pretty confusing, because you're messing with things that like hasn't cut. So like the bill, whenever you might get the bill, it will show that you owe this, but you've already paid it. So it's like a it's a strategy that takes a lot of practice.
DD, due diligence, research and everything, right?
But no, I have seen, like I said, like the obviously you're doing it too. Like, that's actually a very good credit booster too. Like, your score can go real high doing that in very short successions of years, for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to 800, so you're just a few points short.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a very nice score. Yeah, I was in 770 pretty much all my 30s, right? Mm-hmm. Or until I sold my house. Obviously that made my credit to debt ratio just like was so good when it paid off the house.
Freaking skyrocketed. Yeah. So that was such a nice boost.
So it was very cool whenever you like, you know, you saw the next month. Like, I wasn't even paying attention to it, but you know, I always get the free, you know, report from right. I think it's Capital One or something like that. They have like Credit Wise or something like that you can look at.
Yeah.
And Credit Wise. And to see it jump all the way to the max that they had, it's like, wow, that's awesome. It's like, nah, I finally did it.
I know, right? It's like here in America, it's like, man, that 850 like credit score looking real nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, it's a cool feeling, you know, whenever you're finally on top of that mountain. And they always push the line, because I remember back then it used to be like a max was like 7-something. Then it went to 850 now.
Oh, really? So it wasn't always 850? I did not know that.
Yeah, it wasn't always 850. It was 750 back then. And then it went to like 800. So that's why I was stuck at like 775 for a while. And then it went to the 850, I guess, is the standard now. I actually see some stuff say 900. I don't know if they're about to change it again or what, but
yeah, I was gonna say, do you think they're ever gonna like increase it like within the next like, you know, 5 to 10 years? Like, we'll see another increase, and instead, like, by the time I get 850, it's gonna be like, oh no, you actually got to get it to 900.
Yeah, it seems like they do that, because like I said, I remember when 800 was the max, and now all of a sudden it's 850. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what happened? I don't know what determines it or how it is or what. I don't know if like credit bureaus, you know, have a round table one year and be like, hey, you know what? Let's make it this. I don't know how. What determines that?
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. I know they have like a similar system, like a driving score too. I didn't even know that was like a thing as well.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because like I said, I've seen back then, you know, obviously that it was like an 850 max, but there was no such thing as that. So it's like, what are you talking about? And then now it's 850 max, but I've seen like a, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like a place mark or what that has a 900. I don't know if it's like a throttle, you know, like on a car that's like, it's the max, but there's obviously it's not 900 yet, but I wonder if they're going to change it or something. So
we'll see. I mean, I definitely, again, like, you know, in the beginning of the podcast, you said, definitely recommend getting a credit report ran. Which is always free. I think for your first one or per year, I think you get one free one. And then open a Credit Karma account so you can monitor your credit, especially if you have a credit card or plan on opening one. And you'll see it update. Like, I think it's once a week or so.
Yep. Very good tips. And like I said, you guys are learning a lot of stuff that we had to learn ourselves. We didn't have the tools. We didn't have podcasts back then showing us. There were books, probably. I remember being some books about stuff. But even then, you read it and it kind of just kind of goes out because you're not.
Yeah, that or media, like watching the news and they would talk about it. You know what I mean?
It is funny, though, like now into, you know, basically today's climate when it comes to that, like more people are worried now about the student debt, and you don't hear much about credit debt anymore. Not as prevalent.
Yeah,
as
the focus has shifted, right?
Yeah. And I wonder if it's because people are using their student loan debt as the credit. You know what I mean? Because I do see some astronomical numbers, and I had a stream the other day. And I was talking about it. It's like, why would it be that much though? Like, I mean, if it's just your schooling and all that and your books, how do you have 200,000 plus unless you're a doctor? You know what I mean? It's like,
right. Yeah. Are you going into an Ivy League school or whatever? But you know, maybe do you think inflation affects all of that as well? If like books are now going up and just everything, you know what I mean? Your tuition and all of that is a reflection of that as well.
I'm afraid that maybe they're using their student loan as like a credit card where they're purchasing other stuff aside from books and things, like maybe a car, or maybe paying for apartments during schooling instead of
So you're saying like not wise with
it's gotta be that, because I mean, like I said, like it the focus has shifted so much that I think that maybe it is still a credit card, but they're disguising it as student loan, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it's a student loan card that they're using and they're buying all the stuff with it. I'm not sure 100% because obviously I'm not in school and I don't really know that realm. But it is strange to me that it's gotten to the point to where I don't hear much about credit debt problems. I only hear student loan debt problems.
Student loans being a pain in pain in the ass for a lot of college kids.
So hopefully you guys learn a thing or two, you know, make sure you get out of it. And I would imagine even if it is student loans, it kind of applies the same. I actually think when it comes to student loans, though, you get a little bit more leeway when it comes to paying off stuff. So you're not going to get like things reported to you because of 30 days or 60 days late. Because I do think that there's government, you know, restrictions when it comes to how you punish people for not paying that. So. So I'm pretty sure that like if you want to learn, if it doesn't apply to you with the credit, but you have like bad student loan debt, you could use some of the same knowledge and tips that we did use as well by, you know, trying to get your, you know, calling whoever has your account, consolidation if it's multiple, trying to lower payments, you know, assisting with dates when it's owed. Like even that could be a big thing too, because a lot of people, like, it depends on your job. The credit card company like starts whenever you open the card. So if I open the card on like the 11th, then like your first bill will come out on the 15th, and then your payments are due, you know, on like the 13th of every month or something like that, right? And there's people that have jobs that are maybe only pay on the 1st and 30th, and that date could be, you know, bad for them. So don't be afraid to call and say, hey, look, I need this date, the payment date, to be this instead. They're willing to change on that too. Sure. So,
It might take like a few billing cycles or so for it to change, but they're willing to change it for you.
Yes.
If that's not something that you prefer, you know, definitely do so.
Yeah, because that could be a big factor for a lot of things. Because some people might have like an off, you know, their pay if they're, you know, biweekly or whatnot. To where it makes it to where like, oh man, it's due this day, but I don't get paid until the day after, and that could be a big, you know, big deal. So there is leeway, and they usually give you a three-day grace, or the before the actual due day or something. I'm not sure.
I think for every credit card company, it's different. I think what the grace period is for that. I don't want to give out numbers and then be wrong. Like, I don't want to spread misinformation. But I think it varies. So just be sure to look into that, what the grace period is for your credit issuer.
But again, if you feel like it's going to be late, the big safety net, autopay, is a lifesaver.
Yeah, autopay will come in clutch.
Yes. Because if you're somebody that doesn't like paying the minimum, at least it is taking the minimum, and you just pay the rest of it. It's like, all right, well, that shit. I missed the day. Here you go. Here's the rest of that money that I would have paid.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anything else? If you have any questions or concerns for us, you can go ahead and leave a comment on my Twitter account. It is at SiggyV. And do you want to share your social or any information? Do you want to ask any questions?
My Twitter is at homelessgirl with a U instead of the I in girl.
Good girl.
I'll be more than happy to help anybody that may have like questions and stuff about credit cards and credit scores.
You can catch both of us more often than not also when I stream Twitch TV / CGV. Homeless is one of the best mods that we have. And she would probably be out there in the chat. And like I said, our streams, we talk about all kinds of stuff when it comes to money. So don't be afraid to come out if you want to learn more. We talk about everything from credit to stocks to cryptocurrency, with the disclaimer, of course.
Yeah, so be sure to check out Siggy's stream.
There you go. But this has been Money Talks Podcast. And do you have any final thoughts?
Nah, I'm glad the show is back, baby.
Yeah, 2022 is going to be big. I promise y'all, I'm trying to make sure that this is going to be a lot more consistent than it's been in the past. Obviously, 2021 was pretty short. I think I only had a few episodes. So 2022, we're going to go ahead and make this a lot bigger. But this is Ziggy Guns. Episodes. Yes, more episodes for sure. I'll try to make it as often as I can. I can't commit to weekly, but I will try to do. I want to have at least two a month. I do want Money Talks to be at least twice a month. But who knows? Maybe it'll be weekly eventually. And I do, I know we mentioned it earlier about the viewers watching, and we know that it's just listening right now, but I do want that too. I do want a video format. One day we're going to be like the Joe Rogan podcast or something of that size.
Hey, goals, things. Who knows?
But I appreciate you listeners for listening. And like I said, if you want to catch us, we're at twitch.tv/SiggyV, right? I'm SiggyV there too.
Yes.
Yep. And Twitter's also /SiggyV. And then homeless girl with the U instead of the I for girl.
But yeah, for Twitter. Yeah.
Yep, for Twitter. But this is Zing saying peace, and y'all have a good day.
Later.